Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on
KCBS 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. Of course, I'm Al Warren. Mr. Dave Karate Martino is back in the house. What's going on, Mr.
Back
Karate?
Here.
Well, you got all this sticks going on all over Instagram. I saw sticks. I saw you.
So yeah.
What's that all about?
Well, that's Filipino martial arts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's Kali or Arnis, and you use sticks. And I don't know. It's good fun.
That sounds like good food.
Good food?
Yeah, those names.
Okay. Those names.
It's like you're going to a restaurant. Mm. I'll have two of those, please. Wow.
Three of those?
Yeah. That's great. Where do you do that in your neighborhood? You're doing that up on the hill or something? Do you have like a local park or do you do it in someone's lawn?
Yeah, exactly. No, I do it on my patio.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Just get on my patio and turn on the camera.
You end up with a big crowd around?
Yeah. They protest me.
And oh.
They kick me out. Trying to kick me out of the neighborhood. You know.
Yeah. Anyway. So do you stay up and watch the Oscars last night?
You know, I did not. You know, I love movies, but I'm not a big Oscars fan.
Oh. Yeah, I forgot they were on again until I saw someone posting somewhere.
Yeah. Well, that's what I, me too.
I think I saw the Cena, that Cena guy, you know, was best costume when he came on the stage naked, you know, with the...
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, a little card. So I was like, oh, what am I missing here? And I said it was the Oscars. It's like, what? Of course, all of your shows, the Oppenheimer won, of course, most of the major categories.
Picture
director and all that stuff. Barbie was shut out.
I know. Crazy.
I'm just kidding.
Come on. Yeah, didn't he sing that?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it, but
I still think it's a terrible song. It's just so, I'm too old for that. I don't know. I listen to it. It reminds me of stuff I listened to. Long, you know, Sugar, like the Archies.
Oh, the Archies, yeah.
It reminds me of that sort of, and I'm sort of, it's just too much for me. But,
too much, yeah.
But he had Slash do the guitar solo at the end.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which beefed it up at the end, which was good, you know, but... you know, it was too little, too late. That's okay. People like
it's too
it,
much.
So let them have a good time. That's what it's all about. Not just because I'm an old run, you know, grouchy man.
That's right.
Well, and Barbie lost out. Yeah, well, you know, and Barbie lost. You know, she won the definitely the sales, but no.
Oh yeah.
You know. Well, yeah, and so Pink. Speaking of Pink, we're going to talk about Peril in Pink.
That's right.
A new book coming out here. And I believe it's March 19th it comes out. And so the author's with us. And it's not Barbie, it's Sydney Lee. So thank you for being here, Sydney.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, Al. And Dave, good to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So did you stay up and watch the Oscars?
I watched some of it. My mom and I have a tradition of watching together. So I don't have cable anymore, so I had to pop over to her place. So I watched an hour. You know, I just really wanted to catch a little bit of Ryan Gosling, and I did that. So that was good.
Ryan Gosling's a fellow Canadian like myself, so I'm all for him, 100%. But I really don't like that song very much.
Oh, I love it.
It's just, but it's been done so many times before. You know what I mean? Just that ballad and, you know, I'm no good. And I don't know. I'm just an old grumpy man.
Okay. I was being grouchy.
Yeah, I'm being grouchy. I'm sick all weekend. I'm being grouchy. Okay. So I'm going to be grouchy. But that's good. But your movie didn't win any awards. How come?
I don't know. I'm not happy about it. Not happy about it. I think it should have won. I think it was, groundbreaking. I think it was amazing. And I think it's too bad it didn't win.
Well, let's get out and pick it. Okay.
But, you know, more importantly, it was like a super success and people loved it. And I think that's more important than an Oscar. So there you go.
It is anyway, because that's, you know, it is something different. An award, I'm so over awards because awards are really just, I don't know what to say it is. I shouldn't just put it down, but you know what I mean? That's just, it doesn't mean it's not the end all be all. How's that?
Yeah, actually, a friend of mine won one of the awards last night, which is crazy, for makeup I think it was Poor Things. So he was one of the artists that worked on the prosthetics.
Oh, great!
Yeah, I was glad to hear his name mentioned. It was kind of exciting.
No, it's good. It's good. It helps people like that, and overall it generates a lot of money and stuff. I guess I don't watch it anymore like I used to. It just sort of creeps up on me, and I miss it, you know, or I catch bits of it.
It's funny because not having cable, you don't see the commercials of, you know, to kind of get excited about movies coming out. So I don't see as many movies as I used to. So for me, I agree. I don't get the excitement that I used to about the awards coming up. I used to always go and see, you know, the top five movies that were nominated, but I haven't done that the last 2 years.
Well, you're right. I think that's it because I'm not running cable. I have it, but I never watch cable. It's always streaming, right? So
yeah.
You don't get the ads for things like, oh, it's the Oscars, you know, they would, or this and that, all those ads. Now it's on.
Yeah, that's right.
Crazy. So listen, Peril in Pink, what is that book all about? Give us the premise, the rundown in the book.
Sure. So Peril in Pink is a whodunit, meaning, so it's a murder mystery. It's a light murder mystery called a cozy mystery, which is a subgenre in the mystery field. So that means that there's the off-screen violence, there's no sex, there's no cursing, it's an amateur sleuth, and it's a small community, so it doesn't have to necessarily be a small town. In my case, it is, but that's it. So it's like if you think a modern version of Murder, She Wrote, something like that. But it's, I like to think of it as a little bit humorous, so it's been compared to Schitt's Creek and Only Murders in the Building, which I was really, you know, excited about, of course. So it's definitely on the lighter side of the crime fiction.
Why write this genre? Like, what was it about it? Have you always wanted to be in this genre? Or
no, I didn't even want to be a writer. The truth is, you know, it's that old thing of creativity comes out of boredom. I used to be a small business owner, and I ran a driving range, of all things. And I live just outside of Toronto, and the real estate market and the value of land really doesn't make a driving range sustainable. So that kind of folded, and I was left like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And very soon after that, I got pregnant. So next thing you know, I no longer ran a business. I was kind of a stay-at-home mom, and I thought, whoa, this is different. And I, you know, In the dark of the night when there's a crying baby, just my imagination started going, and I really needed to do something with my time when I wasn't taking care of the baby, and I started writing, and I loved it, so I stuck with it.
That's what happens, you know. Things changes in life and things happen and makes you do different. It opens your eyes up sometimes to things, you know, and you realize. But what do you think it was that made you decide writing was something, not just do it because you're okay, you've got the extra time, you're home, you've got the baby, and so now you're writing because you've got ideas and it helps fill the time, but what made you decide to take that and actually go through the expense and effort to get it edited and send it out to people and try to get it published?
Right, well, you know, I love trying new things. I love challenges. And I hate not finishing things. And once I started doing it, I really found joy in it. And before I had the baby, I traveled a lot, quite extensively through my 20s. And that was part of the reason why I got into the small business that I did, because it was seasonal. So I traveled through most of the winters to, you know, Thailand and Indonesia and all sorts of, you know, cool places. And all of a sudden, I was no longer able to travel like that. So I really needed to find an escape. And that's what I found in writing. And I've always loved mystery. So that was just the natural direction where it went. And yeah, so I just, you know, I just kept going. I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. And And I had another new mom friend, and she and I would go for long walks, and I kind of tell her my ideas, and she kind of became like my first beta reader, I guess.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. So your characters, how do you come up with them? Like, where do they come from for you, and what kind of relationship do you have with them?
I think I see my books a lot quite visually. So like I'm watching a movie. My protagonist, I always do in first person. I feel very close to. I think I really see the mystery through her eyes. I always do a female protagonist as well. And so very visual. And a lot of my characters, I find, I definitely have to say, have been taken from people I've met a lot of times. Like right now I'm writing a mystery about waitresses who are getting together for Bachelorette. And I was a waitress in a former life. And certainly some of the characters are, you know, are inspired by women I worked with. They're always kind of talking around in my mind, but they kind of feel like they're new friends and they're always available to talk to.
Well, you said they're talking around in your mind. Do you hear your characters? Do you have an inner monologue? Is that how you create dialogue, or do you have another way?
I visualize it. I definitely visualize the characters talking, not like to me, but as if I was seeing them in a movie. So I really play it out in my mind as if I'm watching it. So if it doesn't make me laugh, then it's not going in the book.
So now the premise that your main character, what is Jess Byrne?
Yes.
And she's opening a B&B, the Pearl B&B in Hudson Valley. What made you go that direction of something like this, thinking about a B&B and centering it with your character?
Well, to be honest, it actually started out as a motel. And that was, we changed it to a bed and breakfast at the request of the publisher. They thought it was, they weren't sure whether readers would enjoy the idea of motel, but it was really inspired by motels that that are quite modern. There's a lot of them out in California that have become really popular, I think, with road trips and, you know, not really run down little mom and pop things, but quite elevated style and fun and trendy. And I just, I love those sort of destinations. So we really took some liberties about the B&B. Like the restaurant is actually a bar/restaurant that's not located inside the bed and breakfast, but it's on the same property. So there's a pool, and then the visitors, you know, have to leave their rooms and go outside of the house to get fed, which I guess is probably a little bit different for bed and breakfast. But, you know, I wanted something that definitely lent itself to the small town vibe, but that also was modern and trendy. I went to a writing conference in 2019, and I met with some agents, and quite a few of them said that they kind of got a younger sense talking to me, and thought that modern mystery would be a great place for me. And definitely, while I hadn't read a lot of them yet, I started reading more of them, and I just fell in love with the genre. So I just stuck with it, and it's been fun.
So what do you think you've learned after finishing the book, and now that it's going to come out now? Where do you stand now on writing? How much do you think you've grown?
I feel like, you know, I think I've grown a lot, and then I go back to writing, and I'm like, oh God, it's so hard still. In a good way, like I love it, but it's really hard to say. I think that I like to think that I learn, like, just through doing. And I would say, like, I like to think that my books have gotten better as I've written. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. What I really want to learn, and I'm still not there yet, is I'm not good at plotting. I mostly am, you know, I write by the seat of my pants. And so that's my goal with my next book. Yeah, so far it's just every day. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think progress happens. It's just, it seems slow in your mind and you don't notice it, but it's there. You know, it's something you'll see over time when you look back. It's not something you're going to see instantly, but it happens. And that getting hard every time you go to write a book happens from book 2 to book 30. It's not going to change.
Sure.
Just so you know, that's you know, when you're telling you and you're working on book 28, you're going to go, this is hard. Like, what's, I kind of would just, you know, there's certain things that become easy. You see, there's certain things you don't think about anymore. You'll just do as you go to write a book. But then there's new things that come up because you become better at writing. So you look for different things. You know what I mean? So it's a progress. Yeah. And I think it's an endless progress of learning. You keep on learning each time. So you're going to always have that challenge. Otherwise, you'll be James Patterson.
Yeah, right. I mean, I have to say, working with Crooked Lane and the editor, Terry, she just, I cannot believe like how much I've learned from her and how much better she made my writing. So I've always, you know, had an appreciation for editors, but working with such a talented one really just made me kind of be a little bit in awe, to be honest. So
yeah, and that's important. You know, actually, same as with me. It was once I connected with an editor, and now I use her no matter what publisher I go through, and or even self-publish, because I still want to work with her, complete the book that way before I put it out, because there's nothing better than connecting with an editor, like a good editor, because it will make your book better.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely believe that. Yeah, I agree.
But it's still hard. Don't. I'm just going to break your bubble. There's just no way. Don't think it's going to get easy. Don't think, you know, in 20 years, oh, I'll be just, you know, knitting and I'll just write down. It doesn't go that way. So you actually, you come up with characters first then, and then try to put them in some sort of scene.
I feel like my protagonists, I know before. And then usually I know who dies. So I have an idea of that basic idea. Like right now I'm doing, like, as I said, I think I mentioned a bachelorette gone wrong, basically. So that's what I'm working on, but I wasn't sure who did it. And that's been interesting because I actually thought it was going to be one character and then it turned out it wasn't. And that was kind of a surprise for me.
Oh, so you're bringing out deep secrets that you have.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, who knew?
Well, in this story, you've got, you know, there's Lars, this singing sensation, I guess, doing the at the B&B, and the father-in-law or whatever, is that father-in-law or?
His stepdad, yeah.
Stepdad. He's the one found dead in the pool, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So who is Bob? Tell us, who did you kill off in real life?
that secret will go to the grave. No, usually I haven't been that angry at somebody yet. So Bob's just a complete figment of my imagination. But he's just one of those, you know, kind of sleazy, kind of thinks he can get away with things, and you know, maybe his hand is a little bit close to your back, or maybe he's standing a little bit close, or you can feel his breath and you don't want to. He's just kind of got that creepy vibe, and he thinks he's 40, but he, you know, he's 60, and he's just kind of a gross guy, and he uses his connection to Lars to try to get himself things that he really doesn't deserve. So he's just an all-around unlikable character.
Yeah, sounds like me. No. yeah, I'm 60. I think I'm 40. Oh, that's terrible. Well, so again, you keep all the violence is out. So this isn't really, there's no real violence in it. It's just, you know, he's found dead, but you don't go into details, or there's no killing or anything like that, right?
Yeah, so it'll be like basically he's found dead, and you see, you know, there's a gash on his head, and you can tell that, you know, his eyes are open, he's not breathing, but, you know, it doesn't get a lot more detailed than that. It pretty much, it's pretty surface level.
Right. So the person who's responsible for killing Bob, the murderer, you know, you don't have to give that away, but do you write kind of in detail of who that person is? Do people get to know that person, or why they killed, or why they?
Yeah. There's always, I see it as like a contract with the reader where, I do put the clues in. So, you know, you can, when you find out who the murderer is, you can definitely go back and see where I put the clues in. So if there's no, you know, I wouldn't surprise somebody at the end and, oh, we had no clue or no, there was nothing that led to it. There definitely is. The clues are there. Just hopefully they won't be that obvious.
So what do you like most about writing then, do you think?
I like a lot about writing. I usually write either at a cafe or at the library. I love just sitting down and really immersing myself in the story. It really feels like I'm entering a different world and having the escape into that, in that land. So I really enjoy that. I love the first drafts are hard for me. I try to write every single day until I get it done. So that's a bit of a grind, but I love the editing. I love going back over the story and making it better. So that process is really one of my favorite bits about the writing. And then again, like going back again and trying to add the humor in and trying to find the funny, I guess. So all of that is enjoyable for me.
Well, for you know, writing comedy and humor, did you find as you were writing this that this kind of like a comedic timing that you needed to create the humor, or did you find another way?
It felt more like the humor. I don't, there's not really a lot of physical comedy in it. It's more of the banter between characters. And that's really like, that's just my favorite part of the writing, I guess, itself, is I love writing conversations and I love the back and forth between characters. And I think that just comes from, you know, I think I kind of lived the life of a teenager for a really long time. And so that, you know, my friends have been my same friends for, you know, 25 years. And I think it really comes naturally to have that banter with my friends. And I like to see that in the characters.
So what's your inspiration? Where does that come from?
The inspiration comes from, oh gosh, that's a good question. Where does it come from? I think I really love the creativity. I love the freedom of being able to create something, a new world. The idea of entertaining is appealing to me, and having these characters come to life. I think all of that is a lot of fun, and that's I guess the goal. And I'm inspired by so many books. I'm really inspired by modern romance, like Emily Henry and some of the other modern romance authors, and as well as the mystery authors. So there's a lot of inspiration just through reading, I think.
So what's the hardest part about writing?
The hardest part, hands down, is the social media. So the not writing part, but the promoting is I find quite challenging.
Oh yeah, it's terrible, terrible, hard work. It's completely different too, right? It's not the same as the writing. You know, you got to sell yourself.
I find it it's a little awkward. So it's I would say that's my least favorite. And then, you know, there's a lot of self-doubt that creeps in and imposter syndrome and all that kind of thing. And especially, you know, seeing a review of somebody that didn't like my book, you know, I'm pretty thick-skinned, but, you know, the seeds of doubt can creep in a little bit. So, you know, trying to fight that off but yeah, definitely I think the first couple of times I tried TikTok, I went, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, it doesn't feel natural.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something, you know, you try these different things and the ones that work for you and that. If someone gives you a bad review, it's easy social media now to find them, hunt them down and have them murdered.
There you go. There's inspiration for my next character.
Yeah. You see, and then, you know, take them out in the next book. And it's a long suffering death. You see, even though you want to be cozy, they can be found shot in the room right in the first scene.
Yeah, I'll save that.
And it takes them to the very end before they die, yeah. Right? So they're every chapter at the beginning, they go visit the person in the hospital, and they're going through pain and suffering, and it's terrible.
Yes.
And then they finally kick off at the end,
right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, save that for the noir. Have a list of noir books.
I'm telling you, no, that would be good. That'd be kind of, you can call it a cozy-ish.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's terrible. So you're a fan of cozies itself too, or you know, like
Oh yeah, you know, I just, the titles get me. I love the, all the punny titles are just, they just make me laugh. And I think what really excites me is the more modern ones that are getting quite popular nowadays, like authors like Olivia Black and Misty Simon and others like that. I mean, there's just, I love to see kind of some modern themes coming into play with the cozy, with the traditional cozy elements. It's fun, you know, like the diction that's a little more modern and, you know, using technology and seeing the humor. I mean, pairing those, I think, is just so much fun.
Yeah, so you have to really be up on all that or get up in it if you don't know it, doing something modern with you know, with the, you know, TikTok and stuff like, you know, you have to be up in what people are doing, kind of.
Sure, sure. And yeah, that is part of it. And actually, I always tell my husband, well, you know, this is the reason why I have to watch reality TV. I've got to, you know, I got to stay modern, see what people are talking about. So it's a great excuse.
Yeah, tell them, you know. Not getting old, not old yet. Boy, I tell you, can't win. So, okay, so the book comes out on the 19th, and looking forward to it. What do you hope people get out of the book?
Really, a laugh. Just enjoy the story. There aren't too many deep themes in it. It's certainly friendship is there, and women supporting women, that sort of thing. But other than that, it's I just hope they're entertained.
What more can you ask for? No, that's great. Now, social media. So where are people finding you? Where do you have a website? And do you still do TikTok or other ones? Like, where do you go?
I try. Sadly, it's mostly my dog at this point. She's often on it, but she, you know, she's pretty laid back. So she just kind of gives me a side eye, and that works perfectly. But yeah, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Sydney Lee Author for all of them. And same thing with the website, SydneyLeeBooks.com. So it's easy to find me.
Well, fantastic. You know, of course, we'll have that up on our website along with your book. And hope it goes good for you. So the book we're talking about is called Peril in Pink. And the author's been with us, Sydney Lee. So thank you for being here, Sydney.
Thank you so much for having me on. I had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Sydney.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.